Well, if you would turn to Jeremiah chapter 44. If you remember last week, we went through chapters 42 and 43 together. 44 is just a continuation of that. And if you remember the man Johanan and his group, his band of men, who defeated Ishmael and took the people that Ishmael had prisoner, joined up with Johanan. They were friends, I guess you could say, allies. And remember, those were captives that were taken by Ishmael when he killed the governor of Judah. Gedaliah. When he killed Gedaliah, or had Gedaliah killed, and in plus they had all the men of his house, and then there were Chaldean troops that were killed, and some Chaldean civilians that were killed. And so this Johanan and his bunch, after they take those prisoners, or they didn't really take them, the prisoners joined up with him after the battle, they were trying to decide where to go. And because they knew that the Chaldeans were probably going to be coming after them, thinking that they were the ones who had done everything, they go to Jeremiah and ask Jeremiah, go to the Lord and pray for us, and ask the Lord where he would have us to go. The Lord told them if they would just stay in Judah and befriend the Chaldeans, they would be okay. But if they didn't, if they went to Egypt like they were wanting to, that he was going to chastise them. He was going to kill them, basically. And was going to send the army of Babylon into Egypt to take them. Well, we know at the end of the chapter we see where that's exactly what they do. They decide to go to Egypt instead of staying in Judah. The Lord had told them if they stay in Judah, he promised them land and crops and whatever else they needed to survive. Chapter 44, we see where they are rebuked by Jeremiah and the Lord, and we see what happens to them. So let's start with verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews that which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell in Migdol and at Tahpanhes and at Toph and in the country of Pathros, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Okay, so he mentions these three, four different places there in Egypt where these people have gone to dwell. Some will try to say that, well, this was people who were already living there. But no, if you read down the next few verses, you see it is the people who had come out of Israel with Johanan. And we, as we get through this chapter, you'll see more of that, more evidence of that. He reminds them what the Lord reminds them, what he did in Jerusalem and in Judah. He says, ye have seen the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem. God brought the evil on Jerusalem. People try to say today that has nothing to do with evil. God doesn't bring evil on his people. Well, we got a whole book of tales that tell about that. So we know it's true. And yes, he still referred to them as his children, remember? These were his people. This was Israel, his chosen nation, that he did these things to. Because, as he says in verse 3, they burnt incense, and they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they. And he says, ye. Who was the ye? That's the people that he's speaking to at that moment. So they were involved in that, sounds like, doesn't it? So they knew. They had served the false gods also. And remember back in the last chapter, towards the end of the chapter, he talked to them about that. That if they went to Egypt and they followed after their false gods, that he was going to punish them. And that's exactly what they did. Verse 4. Howbeit I send unto you all my servants, the prophets, all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. And remember back several chapters back, and God's mentioned this several times to Jeremiah about raising the prophets up early and sending them out. They were going out early every morning and preaching to the people. Not just Jeremiah, there were some others that were doing the same thing. All over Judah, God's prophets were telling, warning the people of what was coming, and nobody listened. He says, rising early and sending them out, saying, and notice who sent them out. He says, I sent unto you. And notice he says, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets. These, like I said, these people were there. They were witnesses to what happened in Jerusalem and in Judah. They were involved with everything that was going on there. They're just a remnant that escaped. That's all they are. And he tells them, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. He gives them the warning again. Don't do it. And then we see, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto the other gods. So they go to Egypt and they carry on with what they were doing in Israel, or in Judah. They didn't change. They didn't heed God's warning. And like God told them, you saw what happened in Jerusalem and in Judah, the cities of Judah. Why do they think they can escape that? You know, they know what God's done. They know all the prophecies that Jeremiah prophesied came true, and they still follow after false gods. Verse 6, wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Total destruction in Judah and Jerusalem. Therefore, now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that you provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that you might cut yourselves off, and that you might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Back in verse 7, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child, and suckling out of Judah. All they had to do was stay in Judah, and God would have protected them. That's what he told them. They would have been safe. They would have had to have allied with the Chaldeans and the Babylonians, but God was going to keep them safe. He promised them that. Instead, they went to Egypt. And why? Because they went to Egypt to worship false gods. They knew there were false gods in Egypt. And whether they had some sick, demented mind that made them think that God would protect them if they went to Egypt, even when he told them he wouldn't, who knows? You know, we don't always know what lurks in men's hearts. I mean, because these people had an opportunity from God. All they had to do was stay where they were at. And yet they were more scared of the Chaldean army than they were of God himself, even though they seen what God could do. And then he says, in that you provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands. The works of their hands. They worshipped at the feet of false gods. And burned incense. They've done other things. Worshipped the false gods of the land of Egypt. Verse 9, have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even unto this day, neither have they feared nor walked they have not humbled even unto this day, neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. So even the ones that the Babylonians carried away captive, in the beginning they didn't change their ways. It was many years before they repented before God. Now you had, even in that group, you had a remnant. You know, we know about Daniel, and we know about the three young men that were with him, and there were others that we see written about in the Old Testament, and where they were with the children of Israel in Babylon, and they stayed true to God. But the nation as a whole that went, living in wickedness even after they went to Babylon, they didn't fall. Remember the story of the fiery furnace when the king, they built the image of the king, and he demanded that the people bow down and worship it. It was only those three guys that didn't worship it, as far as we know. The rest of the nation, even the nation of Israel, even the rest of them fell for it. They worshipped the image of the king. So they were still living in wickedness at that time. And then we see here were these people who, at the beginning of our story, a few chapters back, seemingly, they get the idea. They've been through a lot of persecution, first with the Babylonians and the Chaldeans that came down and besieged Jerusalem and the other cities. They lived through that, and then after that's over with, and they've got the good life to a point where they've got a local guy who's appointed governor, Gedaliah, and Ishmael comes along and kills him, takes those people captive, and they're being persecuted again. And now all they want to do is to go to Egypt and worship false gods. They've totally refused the God of heaven. And even with Jeremiah constantly preaching at them, I can imagine, you know, having to travel with, you know, if you're in their place and having to listen to Jeremiah, I mean, it'd be like, I'm sure he was just, he made a nag out of himself, I'm sure, because of what was going on. Because he, if you remember, Jeremiah really cared about the people of Judah. Those were his people. And remember, he wept over, many times, over what the Lord was going to do to them. And I would think at this point in time, if he's with this remnant, he's very heartbroken that they're not the ones that are going to go back and stay. And of course, they take him with them. You know, he's going to be right there with them through all this. Verse 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil, and to cut off all Judah. And I will make the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed, and all in the land of Egypt, they shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration, and an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. So that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there, for none shall return, but such as shall escape. So that even from this bunch, there's going to be a few that escape. And we'll get to that later. But for the most part, these people that fled Judah and went to Egypt to worship false gods, because they did what God told them not to do, he's going to kill them. He says, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. And so they're going to die in battle. They're going to die from starvation, from disease, just like the people in Jerusalem did when they were sieged by the Babylonians. Verse 15, when all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pharaoh's, or Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. So these men, the leaders, you know, in their day, the tradition, biblical tradition was, the men were the leaders of their wives, of their homes. They knew that their wives had burned incense unto false gods. But they're still not going to follow the Lord. They tell Jeremiah, we're not listening to God. We're going to do what we want to do. Verse 17, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. They're going back to what it was like in Judah and Jerusalem before God sent the king of Babylon. They're not even thinking about what happened after he came, and that God was the one that sent him. And notice, he doesn't name the false god by proper name, but he says the Queen of Heaven. And we're going to see that name again in this chapter. That's the main false god that they're going to worship in Egypt. There's many, and there's in different cultures in that part of the world. And I meant to go look this up, and maybe I will for next time. But there's many names down through history given to what was referred to as the Queen of Heaven. Ishtar was one of them. Where the root word for the word Easter comes from. In modern, more modern times, didn't start recently, but in more modern times, with Catholicism, you have Mary worship, and it can be traced back to this Queen of Heaven. And if you ever, around many Catholics, refer to Mary as the Queen of Heaven. The Scripture never calls her the Queen of Heaven, ever. And so we see these people, they fess up to what they've done. You notice they say, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. They're not going to follow the Lord. They're going to follow themselves. To burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the cities of Judah. This is the same false god. Now they're in Egypt now, but this is the same false god that they were following when they were in Jerusalem. The Queen of Heaven. The Egyptians had a version of the Queen of Heaven. All the nations around Israel, the Ammonites, the Mennonites, well, not the Mennonites, Midianites, and the other Philistines, the others all around Israel, all had some form of the Queen of Heaven. Babylon certainly had. Some say that that's where it came from originally, was out of Babylon, which would be traced back to the city of Babel, from the story of the Tower of Babel. Supposedly that false god goes that far back, which would have been right after, not too many generations after Noah. And so they're following after this false god. And remember, think about the scriptures. They've got what Moses wrote. There was a few other things that they may have even had, some of what David wrote and Solomon wrote. We know Jeremiah wrote a book a few chapters back, and they may have even had a copy of that. You know, we don't know. But they had the truth. They knew the truth. But yet they still followed after a false god. And every time God warned them about it, they, to God's face, told him, "We're not going to listen to you." Isn't it sound like today, what we hear today from people? You know, they hear the truth. They've been raised on the truth. Some of them even say they know the truth, and yet they still won't follow the Lord. What was that? Verse 18. "But since we left off to burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine." So they think that since they quit worshiping the Queen of Heaven, life's gotten worse. Life's turned bad. Well, for God's people, sometimes it seems that way. You know, when we begin to follow the Lord, and we're persecuted at times, but because of that, there may be times where financially we don't have what we had before. Maybe times where we may not have the physical things we had before. We may even affect our health. But we know the Lord's still with us. And in their case, God's trying to be with them, but they don't want him. And he's made them given them every opportunity to repent, and they refuse to do it. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings on her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? This is the women speaking here. Remember, the women were the ones a few verses back, verse 15, it was the wives and all the women, it says, that stood by in a great multitude. They were the ones who burnt incense unto the false god, the Queen of Heaven. But notice what they say. They say, "Did we do all this without our men?" Of course not. The men were just as guilty. It sounds like, in this case, just the opposite of what God had told them to do. Remember, God said it was only men that were to be priests. It was only men that were to be... remember in Revelation, we've been talking about the unholy Trinity? What does this sound like here? Does that not sound like that? You've got the Queen of Heaven instead of the King of Heaven, which is who we're supposed to worship, is the King. They're worshiping a queen. And it appears here that the women are the ones who are acting as the priest in this matter. But they say that they didn't do it without their men. The men were obviously there worshiping with them. "Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people which had given him the answer, saying, The incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them and came it not into his mind? God, of course God remembered them. He remembered. He also remembered what they were doing was wrong and brought chastisement upon them. So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings, because of the abominations which ye have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation, and an astonishment, and a curse, without an inhabitant as at this day. Because ye have burned incense, and because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you as of this day. Now remember, God made multiple covenants with the people of Israel. All promises that he intended to keep, but they were the ones that never kept them. They were the ones that broke the covenants every time. No one can say that God was at fault in the breaking of one of those covenants. It was always the people of Israel. And in this case, it's the same way. God made them a promise and was intended, said he would keep it, but they didn't keep it. They didn't keep their part of it. All they had to do was follow him and do what he told them. And they refused. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people, unto all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hand, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. He's going to remove even his name from their lips. They're not going to speak his name ever again because of their sin, of their following after false gods, or in this case, a false god. And notice he mentions, he says, ye and your wives. It's going to be all of them. Not just the men, but the women too, the wives too. And he says, have both spoken? So the men and the women both spoke, he says, with their mouths. They verbally said, we will not follow the Lord. We're going to follow after the Queen of Heaven and not the Lord. And how backwards is that? I mean, God has set up the perfect way for them to live, and they're going to go against it and follow the more difficult, the more unreasonable way, and follow after this false god, this Queen of Heaven. A false god is nothing. It's not a real person, not a real being. It's an idol. And yet, they're refusing the God of Heaven. And remember Jeremiah throughout this whole ordeal. It's probably not even recorded every time he did it. But he was constantly going back and reminding them, remember what God did for your fathers, your forefathers, when they came out of Egypt. Remember the things he did in the wilderness. Remember the things he did after that. He would go back and tell them their history, and they still refused. Verse 26, therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn. We've already read that. Skip down to verse 27. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. God's going to watch over them, but it's going to be evil. He's going to bring evil upon them. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. There's not going to be anybody left. Now, he did say that back a few verses, there is going to be a few that are going to escape, but not many. In verse 28, yet a small number, and here it is where he tells us more about that. yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. So God says there's going to be a small number that's going to go back to Judah, and they're going to spread the word to the rest of the remnant that's there, and they're going to tell them what's happened in Egypt. And he says, they're going to know whose words are going to stand, whose words are true, in other words, God's or theirs. And, of course, it's going to be God's. We know that. Verse 29, and this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that ye may know that my words shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. So the king of Egypt is going to fall. Right now, their only refuge, because God's given up on them, their only refuge is the king of Egypt. For whatever reason, he has given them safe harbor there in Egypt for now. But there's going to be another army come, and they're going to kill the king of Egypt, and their refuge is going to be gone. They're not going to be safe anymore, and God's going to kill all of them too. So we'll stop there for tonight, and we'll carry on with this next Wednesday night.